All right, Danny, pray for us, please.
Father, we're so grateful and joyful just to be in your house today, amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ, Father, and praying that the Holy Spirit comes down and moves among us, that we can get ready for the revival that's coming around here, Father. And we pray, Father, that it is a revival indeed. And we just pray for Brother Knox as he travels up this way, and just give him those traveling mercies that he needs. All the prayer requests, Father, you've heard from your children, Father, I pray you answer them in a way that they find to their needs, Father. But we always, Father, we want your will to be done. It's like being a supervisor. You see things differently from one side of the desk compared to the other. So help us to be patient and understanding, and help us to understand, Father, that everything that goes on is by your divine will. So we pray for John as he's prepared this lesson this week. Pray for our pastor as he gets ready to preach his service this morning. But Father, we just can't thank you enough for the eternal security we have in Jesus Christ, his blood, redemption, and the peace that we have and the rest that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, we just stand humbled that you would love us so much, and we're so needy. But Father, we just turn this day over to you and ask you to use it as you see fit. Help us to be the people you want us to be, for in Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
Amen. All right, before we get started this morning on the nations, the judgment of the nations, anyone have any questions that come up during the week? Anything? We try and answer them. If not, we'll get started. All right. As you know, we're covering the judgment. This one is judgment number 4 and judgment of the nations that will be continuing on. And as I said last week when we closed, that all throughout history, the nation of Israel has been severely persecuted, and every nation just about on this earth has turned against the Jew. And you see that with the United Nations, the votes that they have condemning Israel. And, you know, that's fine. They caused it themselves. You know that when they rejected the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they wanted their own way, they wanted their own king rather than the Messiah. So we get what we deserve, and sometimes we get things that are meant to teach us, to guide us, to direct us, to draw us closer to the Lord. So, and this has happened all throughout history. With the Jewish nation, with Israel. During the Dark Ages, when the Catholic Church was persecuting, killing, trying to wipe out Israel, the same thing happened. They were wiping out the believers, the Bible believers, and the Jews. So the Catholic Church is not your friend. Don't ever think. And I got an article. It reminded me, I got an article this week where the Catholic Church is now going to teach how to exorcise demons. And there's been a lot of so-called Christians signing up for these lessons. I'll give you the article. In fact, while I'm thinking of it, I brought in the book, Rightly Dividing, or Danny did, Rightly Dividing the Word by Clarence Larkin. If you don't have that book, it runs $41, somewhere in that area. If you don't have that, I have a PDF copy, and I can email it to you if you would like. Just give me your email address. And I've got that, and I've got other books, too, that I can email you. And you just have to open up with the PDF. I find these things. And I go searching a lot of times, and I find them. So it'll save you a bunch of money. And that book itself, if you get the basics down from that book, you will never have a problem with the Word of God and someone trying to deceive you in it. You'll get the right division. You'll get the times of the Gentiles. You'll get all that stuff. So if you want that, give me your email address and I'll email it to you. And
John, I have a question.
Yes.
Probably a silly question, but it just popped in my mind like most silly things do. But you say that Christians are also interested in what the Catholics are doing?
So-called Christians.
Okay, how would exorcising a demon, how would a Christian do that? And are they going to go get a Catholic priest? Or how does that work?
Because they do not know the Word of God. Like I said last week,
a Christian should know better than to delve into anything like that.
They should, yes. And I'm looking for it as I'm talking to you, because I think I saved it. But anyway, people that don't understand the Word of God, don't know how to rightly divide it, don't know. I can't find it right now, otherwise I'd read it to you. Casting out devils, healing the sick, you know that is not for this dispensation. Some people say, what are you talking about, dispensation? And this is where these guys mess up. And, well, they do it intentionally too, because they're money people. You know, send me your money, I'll pray for you, I'll send you a prayer cloth, come in, I'll heal you. But before you come up, you've got to pay, donate $1,500 so I can lay my hands on you, and things like this.
Well, wasn't it Legion that told the disciples or someone else following Jesus that...
Yeah.
He said, I know Paul and I know Jesus, but I don't know you.
Yeah. You're getting into a very dangerous...
Somebody got tore up.
Yeah, it sure did.
You're going to get into something you can't control.
No, and that you can't fight.
No.
That you can't fight. You get into the spirit world and start delving into the spirit world, you're asking for trouble. Because the only one that can handle that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not washed in the blood, you've got big problems. And even if you are washed in the blood, and you start delving into that stuff, and it happens. It's happened in the past. People have gotten curious. They've gone into, especially back in the 70s when it was big, the big push. They started delving into casting out devils and so forth. And you're not safe even as a believer because you're not totally sanctified as yet. You still have this, the flesh, which is sinful. And you just don't want to go there.
John, are the Ouija boards, are those really something that works?
They work, but they're demonic.
Yep.
Years ago...
Demonic. I didn't know if this whole stories were true or not.
Yeah, a lot of them are true.
It's something you just need to stay away
from. No, you stay away from anything you're not sure of or anything demonic. Years ago, my sister-in-law, she was very young then, probably in her early teens. this was right after my daughter died. They were gathered together, her and some of her friends, and asked a question. And that thing started moving.
Really?
Yeah, and bringing an answer.
That's scary.
It's very, very demonic.
Very, very scary.
And that can pull you right into their activities, too.
Well, I've seen stories about that, you know, people giving their so-called testimony that this happened when they did that. And they summoned a demon, and then they were attacked, they couldn't get rid of it. But I didn't know if all that was actually true, but I knew there was evil connected to it.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was as bad as some of these stories say.
It is as bad and probably worse than what we know about. And sometimes ignorance is bliss. Mm-hmm. You know, just stay away from it. Yeah. All right, so back to Israel, how they've been persecuted over the years. And there's always been a group or groups or individuals that have helped Israel as they've been persecuted. Usually, you go back to during the Dark Ages, and it was a group called the Waldensians. Waldensians were a Bible-believing group that helped the Israel during these times. And it's out of the Waldensians that the Baptist Church was developed. And the first Baptist Church established, now I'm not saying First Baptist Church of Salisbury, but the first Baptist Church that was established in America was in Providence, Rhode Island, around 1638, and it was started by a man named John Clark. John Clark was a Waldensian out of Europe, and they had it straight. And one of the problems, if somebody asked you or asked any Baptist in this country, why are you a Baptist? Most of them would say, well, my parents went there, I go there. They don't know their roots. And it's very important that you know your roots. Where did you come from? Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you attend a Baptist church? And we need to know these things and understand them.
Just talking about the Waldensians, the Catholic Church persecuted them people rough.
Oh, yeah.
They would tie Waldensians, they were up in the mountains of Austria or someplace like that.
Yeah.
They would tie them to boulders and push them over the edge.
Yeah.
And, just horrific treatment. And, you know, the Albigenses. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were.
They were persecuted because they believed the Word of God and they stuck to it. And as I mentioned, 90% of the Baptist churches today are so messed up. They've departed from their roots. They've departed from the truth. And many of them have taken their name, Baptist, off that church and became a community church. A light to the world or something like that. And they've gotten away from the Baptist heritage, which is once you know what the heritage is, you'll be very proud of it. What's going on during the Dark Ages, these Bible-believing groups were mainly the Waldensians helping the Jews. And you get most Christian books, not outside of Christian books, but so-called Christian books today, and you go through those books, Christian history, and you'll find that they'll call the Waldensians a cult. The reason they call them a cult is because they believe that they had God's inspired and preserved word in the authorized 1611 King James Bible. And it's the same thing that they were willing to bet their soul on that. And you and I today, if we're Bible believers, we believe the same thing. That God did inspire His Word, He preserved His Word. We have it today in the authorized 1611 King James Bible. And we're betting our soul, we're betting our eternity on that fact. And if you don't believe that, then there may be a problem as far as salvation goes. So they'll determine in their books that the Waldensians were a cult. The Waldensians helped the Jews because they understood all the things that went along with the Word of God. And they began to see that when the Antichrist begins to carry out his plans to wipe out, to kill, to eliminate Israel and the Jews, that it was wrong. And they weren't going to go along with it. And there are people and there are nations that are going to help the Jews during the tribulation period. Not everybody went along with the persecution of Israel, whether it was back then, whether it's today, or whether it'll be during the tribulation period. There'll be people and nations that will help Israel and the Jews. And it's nothing new. It's been that way down through history. And most Christians don't realize and don't know that why they protect the Jews is found in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 is the reason we take the position on the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, as I said earlier, on a daily basis is being squeezed by every nation on this planet. The whole United Nations is anti-Semitic and has been for the last 50 years. Why is a small little country like Israel hated by the whole world, basically? They don't have anything. The land right now is not productive to speak of. Why are they hated? Because they are God's chosen people.
Yes.
You and I, as believers, are hated by this world, whether you know it or not, whether they show it or not, you are hated by this world, especially if you take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can find that and see that it's real as you deal with people, as you witness, as you pass out tracts, how the reaction is to you. And that's just the way it is. So Romans chapter 11, we find the nation of Israel on a daily basis being persecuted. Now, Romans 11, beginning with verse 25, you can find out why you and I should never be anti-Semitic. Even though most churches have rejected the nation of Israel for whatever reason. And, you know, you can be, when I was growing up, up north especially, it was the Jews that had the major businesses, that controlled the businesses. And people were jealous of them. But God has blessed them in such a way that they have an ability and a talent to make money. And to, you want a good lawyer, you find a Jewish lawyer. A good doctor, find a Jewish doctor. And it's gone that way. God has blessed them in certain ways. But Romans 11, beginning with verse 25, "For I would not, brethren," here he is talking to saved people, "that ye should not be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit." But once you and I lose sight of what God is doing for the nation of Israel, then that's when you think you are better than the Jew and you become wise in your own conceit. And that's exactly what's happened today. People have gone against the Jew because they think they're better than the Jew. Why do you think Germany went after them? They thought they controlled everything. And during World War II, you've seen what happened. And then continuing with the verse 25, "that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles should become in." Now, what is the fullness of the Gentiles? These are things you need to understand. Verse 26, And so all Israel shall be saved. All Israel, that whole country, in one day is going to be saved. Now, at that day, there's not going to be that many of them left. This is after all the persecution. They're going into the Valley of Megiddo, and there's not a great deal of them left. And verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Who is a deliverer? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, who is Jacob? Jacob is Israel.
Yep.
Verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them. This is God's covenant with the nation of Israel. The covenant is found in Hebrews chapter 8. And if you want to go there and read that and you find out what that covenant is. Continuing with the verse, when I shall take away their sins. So God's going to take their sins away from them, and they're going to be His people, clean and pure. Now here comes the verse for you and I. Verse 28, concerning the gospel, that's this day and age, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's you and me. They are enemies for your sakes. Okay? The Jews are our enemies today. No doubt about it. Right now, the Jew looks at you and I and every Christian as his enemy. He will use you. He will abuse you. He'll take advantage of you in every way that he can. They reject the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they look upon us with disdain. I'm talking about a real Jew now, not just one by name, especially if you go over to Israel. They reject the person of Jesus Christ. Of course, they crucified him. They have set themselves up as in a mystical, spiritual thing that in their own mind they think represent God, but in actuality they are so far away from God that it is unbelievable. They think you and I are heretics. And they hold you and me as Christians in disdain. That's how they look at us. And they look at us as a sub-level as far as religion is concerned. In fact, if you go over to Israel and you talk to an Orthodox Jew, in many cases, if you mention the name Jesus Christ, they will turn and spit. That's how much they disdain and dislike the Lord Jesus Christ and us as Christians. But all that, it's going to be fixed one day. And right now, they are your enemy. And then continuing with the verse, but it's touching the election. Now, who's the elect in this case? The context is Israel. So we're talking about them being the elect. The nation of Israel is God's elect. He elected them. They are chosen by God in Genesis chapter 12. This is why you have to read the whole Bible. It all fits together like a gear coming together. Genesis chapter 12, to be His nation, He elected them and He chose them. So when He talks about the elect in this context, He's talking about the nation of Israel. And then the verse goes on, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Even though Israel is far away from God right now, and you know they are, God is going to bring them back to Him through this tribulation period. But the church in the church age, they are going to be against us, and we are never to be against the nation of Israel. So long as we support and help the Jews, God is going to bless this nation, or he'll bless the individuals that help the Jews. What was his promise? I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. You better take serious how you treat the Jews and talk about the Jewish nation, because God will either bless you or curse you as a result of that. So that's the thing we can get out of this so far. I've got some rules before we continue. We look at a contrast. We'll pick that up next week. But some rules for today. We'll finish up with this. Number one, before you ask what a verse means, determine the context. Context is so important. Number two, the Bible is written to three groups of people. Who are they? The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. Who is being addressed?
Yes.
Rule three, the Bible has proper divisions, and you need to know those divisions. Number four, all Scripture has three applications: doctrinally, historically, inspirationally, or how does it apply to me? Rule five, God chooses exact words, what he wants to use, and the events recorded to show you something. Don't ever question why God uses certain words. He uses them to show and teach us something. God has three distinct plans revealed in his word. The plan, first of all, for the universe, plan for the earth, and the plan for your life. God has those three plans for us. Rule number seven, the invisible things of God can be seen by studying by the things that God has made. Romans tells us that. You want to know something about God? Why? Look at the things around us. The rule number eight, the Bible is a no of private interpretation. All interpretations must be done by comparing Scripture with Scripture. You don't pull one thing out and base a doctrine on that. Where is it found other places? Number nine, the individual words in the Bible are key to the Bible. Pay attention to words. I've stressed this for forever. Number ten, always give the Bible the benefit of the doubt. Never question the Bible. You can wonder why some things happen, but when you compare Scripture with Scripture, you'll find out. Remember, the Bible is consistent. It doesn't waver. It doesn't change. And remember the law of first mention. Whenever you find something in the Bible, go to where it's first mentioned and you'll get a good understanding of what it's all about. Number 13, take the passage literally unless it cannot be taken literally. I'd give you some examples, but we're out of time. Rule 14, always be prepared to change what you think according to what the Bible teaches. We've been brought up with certain thoughts. It should be this way, it should be that way. But when you find the Bible in conflict with your thoughts, always go with the Bible. You'll never go wrong that way. And then, last one, rule number 15, numbers are a major key in the Bible. You can go through some numbers and you'll find out what they're all about. All right, so we'll pick up next week with one of the contrasts that we'll find dealing with the nation of Israel. All right, Ben, pray for us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, not only just another morning in church, but a special morning to just help us remember the fantastic and faithful mothers that we have in this church.
Yes.
Just help us not take them for granted. They're so special, Lord. We need to treat them that way and remember that. Lord, we do ask that anyone who comes through these doors today, if they're not saved, Lord, I pray they come to you for that forgiveness and that salvation. Lord, we do thank you for the Spirit that's already throughout this building this morning. We thank you for certainly this good study time that we've had, and I ask that you help us be faithful and stand in the book and do the studying so we can just learn more about you as each day goes by. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you just for more than meeting our needs. Lord, we love you, praise you, and worship you in Jesus' name.
Amen.